given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy.
Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing.
Nothing will harm you.
Good way to memorize Luke 10:19, because it is the truth. We welcome you here to Hope is Alive, and good evening again, Brother Ralph.
Good evening.
And, whew, I like that song. I like that song. Well,
it is a good one.
Welcome back, and I guess Pastor Everett's on the line. Good evening, Pastor Everett.
I don't think he's joined yet. I haven't heard him come in.
Oh, okay. Well, Ralph, I'll turn it over to you. I know a couple callers are scheduled,
okay.
And
All right.
I'll sure let you know when they come on.
Okay. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hope is Alive. Thank you for joining us this evening, the show about doing the supernatural works, about testimonies of those doing the supernatural works of Jesus. Show about deliverance. And if you have some questions about deliverance or want to, if you want to find out more about some of the prayers and the different techniques that we talk about here on the show, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. And on there is, you got a full arsenal of weapons that you can use to come against the enemy. It is just absolutely fantastic. Some of these prayers, just basically just taking years and years of experience that Pastor Cox and his team have put together to kind of simplify the process, that we do have all power and authority over the enemy, and sometimes you just don't know how to use that power. Just like when you get a gun for the first time, you may not know which one's the end that you need to point. I'd hope that you would, but someone's got to teach you that the one end is where all the power comes out of it and how to aim and use it. So you can go to deliveranceusa.com, and the the breaking of ungodly soul ties prayers is on there. The prayers for those who have been Masons or descendants of Masons is on there. The prayers for help cleaning out a home or cleaning out property on there. The door closing prayer, a fantastic, fantastic prayer. If that is not in your arsenal, it should be. That is something that I try to speak several times a year. I have taken the I've just looked at the over the past couple of years. I've talked and got to know Pastor Cox. I see his energy, his vitality, his youthness, his just wanting to get out there and serve. And I thought, what is it that he has? Why is it there? And then it came to me one day, well, every time he takes somebody through that door closing prayer, he's speaking to himself, so he is constantly shutting those doors and breaking those assignments and canceling the curses against them that are there. And so I try to say it several times a year, and I think that it's helped me in my Christian walk. And that book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, can be obtained by calling Scriptures for America. The office phone number is 307-742-7582. Just talk to Richard. He'll get it sent out to you. I believe we ask a $20 offering for that. And it is a manual to help you do what was commanded to Christians, to cast out demons. Back in November, we had a guest on the show, Rebecca Nichols-Blanco. And she wrote a book called The Devil in Pew Number 7. I can't remember the exact date of that broadcast. It is in the November broadcast, so you can go back to the archives. It is an incredible, incredible story. It's almost unbelievable, the demonic attack that came upon this family. I highly recommend the book. It is just amazing. And the perseverance that her parents went through teaching their children to forgive, to forgive, to forgive. And this family lost both their parents at a young age. They lost it to murder. And basically, because of all the attacks that her father went through, it took him at a young age. And but she has a couple of quotes that are in this book about forgiveness. And I was wanting to read those, and I'm going to read out some things that she wrote down that I have highlighted, and I think it's just good teaching, because we are commanded as Christians to forgive those that have wronged us, and we've got to remember that when we forgive, it does not excuse them from what they did. It does not mean that they will never be punished. We're to forgive because they're our brothers, especially if they're our brothers or fellow Christians or our family members or our fellow Israelites. We are commanded to forgive them. It says here on page 250, I'm not suggesting I'm the only person who's experienced deep and abiding hurt. Far from it. In this fallen world, all of us have had or will soon experience wrongdoing at the hands of others. Some of those actions are pretty Bush League stuff. Other actions cause major league-sized wounds. Maybe you were molested as a child, or you were raped, or live with a very verbally abusive spouse, or are haunted by the mean spirit pronouncements of a friend who betrayed you. You and I cannot walk away from what's been done to us. At the same time, as crazy as it sounds, we're commanded to speak the language of heaven, to forgive as we have been forgiven, generously, fully, and freely. That means we forgive with no strings attached. That may require us to forgive repeatedly. That just spoke volumes to me, because a lot of times, and I remember Pastor Peters would talk about this, we'd always let our big butts get in the way. We'd say, well, I would, but. Well, I would, but. Well, if you read in Matthew 18, you will see the story there of the prisoner of the 10,000 talents who was forgiven. That's a lot of money, folks. I did the math based on what a talent was a year's wage. I did it based on $50,000 a year. Well, that 10,000 pounds amounts to what Donald Trump's type money. We're talking billions in today's age. And when the Lord forgives us, we are forgiven of billions and billions. I mean, we all have rotten things we've done. We've all betrayed our Lord in many ways throughout our life. And He went to the cross for us. He went to the cross for us so we could be forgiven. And that when we just take the simplest slight or even a strong transgression against us, and we refuse to forgive, we are just completely forgetting the grace and mercy that God threw upon us and gave us. So it's just real important out there, because it is forgiveness, or the lack of forgiving is a huge door opener, and it will hold you into bondage. Here's a quote she had from a book by called The Art of Forgiving, and it's on the subject of forgiveness. It's by Lewis Smeads. I've never heard of the book, never heard of the author, but here's the quote in there. It says, "When you forgive a person who wronged you, you set a prisoner free. And when you discover that prisoner, and then you will discover that prisoner you set free is you." And that is a powerful, powerful quote, because God doesn't say if you don't forgive, he's going to throw the person who wronged you in with the tormentors. He'll say he's going to throw you in with the tormentors. Throw until you repay all that's owed. So it's just so important for your salvation in the here and now, be delivered from things, to forgive. And then I have one more quote here from the book that I just really spoke volumes to me. It says, "If I open my heart to self-pity, anger, grudges, and unforgiveness, I give the enemy of my soul an invitation to that very expensive home, a home purchased by the blood of Jesus." And Richard, are you there?
I'm here. I can hear
something going on. I don't know if maybe you're on the mute button, but I can hear people talking. So,
yeah, it's not here. Pastor Everett, were you able to come on?
I hear something.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if Brother Nick didn't hang up.
Maybe. I'll send him a text. It might be, because
okay.
So we'll do that.
We'll have to forgive whoever's doing that. Folks, this is live radio for you. We're not the experts, I guess. So little humor there. I don't know what happened to Pastor Cox this week, but he did have some callers lined up. So, Richard, when they come on, just let me know they're there.
Sure. We'll do it.
I'll be happy to, though. I'll do my best to interview him. I've been listening to Pastor Cox do it for a while, so I think I could probably make it on my own. But those are just some of the things. This book is called The Devil in Pew Number 7. I highly recommend it. I really do. It is just a fantastic book. It's got an incredible story in it. And again, we had her come on back in November and give her testimony. And it's just absolutely, absolutely amazing there. Pastor Cox, are you joining us now?
I think that might have been, maybe that was Brother Nick hanging up. Yeah, I haven't got a text back, but I probably will. And that happens, you know, it does. We're not to think too highly of ourselves, that's for sure.
Now, at first I thought I was getting feedback, and then I realized that was conversations. But that's pretty funny. Richard, did you ever get a chance to read The Devil in Pew Number 7?
You know, I ordered two of them when I got them in and got that one for you, and I have not read it cover to cover. I've kind of skimmed through it, and it reads very similar to the testimony that she gave that night. Hard to imagine. It really is kind of hard to imagine that. But anyway, yeah, it... I've got it in there. I need
book.
To put
I
it
recommend
in.
It.
Yeah.
I recommend it. Pastor Cox, are you there now?
Well, I am. I am here. And you won't believe why I am late. No, it's better than that. I went fishing today, a friend of mine out northeast, and we caught 19. Mostly small bass. I just got through cleaning 14 of them, and Carolyn came out in the garage, and just as I was finished, "Don't you have the show tonight?" I go, "Oh my gosh, I completely forgot about it. I was so concentrated on the fishing." So
it has been good weather. I'm glad you got to outdo that. And you know, we were just talking about forgiveness, and we'll forgive you for coming on late.
Oh, thank you.
Actually, Pastor, what I was talking about was the devil in pew number 7. There was some quotes in the book about forgiving towards the last chapter.
Yeah.
And I was just reading some of those quotes in there that really hit home with me. I finally finished the book. I finished the last of it last night. And it's just a fantastic, fantastic story. And I didn't even realize that when she came on, she went to college just up the street from me at Missouri State University. So, you know, we probably
wow.
could have had a thing or two to talk about. She'd know the area. But just welcome everybody. And I'm going to bet we've got our first Kevin. Kevin, are you there? He is. We do have Kevin with us. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right.
Thank you for joining this
yes.
evening.
Hi, Kevin.
How are you
here? Well, I'm
yes,
blessed.
Yes. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, and how's everything up there in Connecticut?
Actually, pretty nice. It was cold and everything. Very strange winter we're having here, but it was a lot nicer today, and it's supposed to be actually up around the 50s up here in Connecticut tomorrow.
Oh, wow. That's nicer up there. It was actually
yes,
in the
is.
70s
yes,
here
is.
Today.
Oh,
pretty
I want
amazing.
To break out the Bermuda shorts, you know?
Right, right. Well, it's that kind of weather. Well, Kevin, if
yeah,
you could go ahead and share some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you first learned about deliverance and any experiences you'd like to cover.
Let's see, I'm 53 now, but I got saved when I was 19, and I was actually going down to one of the local parks to get drugs so I could get high, and I bumped into two Christians. I thought they were dealers, but they sold me something much better than drugs. They sold me Jesus, and
hey,
I got
amen.
Saved that afternoon.
Praise
yeah, I got saved that afternoon, and it was kind of funny because my friend who I went down with, we separated. I was sitting down with them on the park bench, and then you know, I told him what happened, and his reaction was, "Oh no!" And I stopped getting high. I stopped drinking. Ever since then, I was like 19. I stopped drinking, stopped getting high since that time. So I haven't had a drink or a drug or anything like that. Around 53. So. Wound up hooking up with a group of people that were running a church out of their home and did that for many years, went to Bible college. I did that for a year. I was in Scotland. But it seemed like there was a glass ceiling. It seemed like there was only so far I could get with God. And started looking into some other things. Came across... I forget how I came across you, Everett, but I might have heard you on a radio show or something like that. Was able to reach out to you. I got your book, and your book is fantastic. I recommend it, you know, all the time. I've actually bought several copies of that book and given it to friends of mine that have an interest in this subject. And it really gives you a good step-by-step, you know, when you want to look up something in particular that has to do with this subject, you can go through and look it up and see the scripture references. And I know, like, when I pray, a lot of times it's Luke 10:19 that will immediately get invoked. I knew from early on that I was an intercessor and, you know, did a lot of intercessing over the years for different situations, different people. But like I said, there always seemed to be like a glass ceiling. It seemed like I could only get so far, and then came across the whole concept of demons and this and that. And we drove a year and a half ago from Connecticut to Oklahoma to where you are, and went through the deliverance. And I think I sat down with you, actually, and I think there was about 47 demons that came out. And there was a whole system set up, you know, at some point to kill me. And it was pretty bizarre because during the initial prayers and everything that happened, when you close the doors, I felt one of the main demons come out of me. I did this yawn and a burp, and I knew it came out. And then you were dealing when you brought up the head demon. It wasn't actually the head demon. I think it was like the number three demon or something. And there was, it was kind of bizarre. But you know, after that, there was a sense of peace that I never had before in my life. And it wasn't like, you know, where I could get upset and I would go from 0 to 100 miles an hour, you know, snap the fingers. It was, you know, things that would upset me, I would remain calm. Where I couldn't remain calm before. And then from there, my wife is an ordained pastor, and she and I have done a lot to work with various people. I had a buddy of mine that I've known for, 30 years or so. He was over at the house, and we were talking with him and his fiance, excuse me, and, you know, it's really cool because, you know, we get talking with them, and when I have a chance to minister to people, I always find it very rewarding because I just love to be able to stomp on the devil's head once in a while and be able to see people get delivered of things. He had tremendous lower back pain. He had a lot of, you know, pain all over his body. We go through all, you know, we go through a lot of the steps. You know, I talk to him. I find out if there's any, because there's the two uns. There's the unforgiveness, which will prevent healing, prevent things, or you'll see people regress and lose their healing because of that unforgiveness. And it's really, you know, so it's interesting because once we go through that and you see like a point where somebody stops, it's kind of like, and it doesn't bug me at all because if somebody says, well, you know, you got about 50% of it, it doesn't bother me because there's the passage in the Gospels with Jesus, I forget where it is at the moment, but with the blind man, and then he sees partially, and then Jesus goes back and ministers to him again. So if that happened to Jesus, it doesn't bother me if it happens in a situation where I'm ministering. So yeah. Then I say, well, you know, we do it again, and I ask him, you know, is there, you know, unforgiveness? Is there anything, you know, that would be blocking this? And I ask, is there anybody you have to forgive? Is there anything going on with that? And literally I'll just take my finger point, and I'll say, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Christ, pain go. Pain, if it's pain, pain go. And the pain, and I'll ask, well, what is it now? 30%? You know, where is it? And you'll see that pain level come down. His fiance had really bad knee pain, ankles, and you know, and she had a lot of unforgiveness. And I just said, look, it doesn't matter whether the person's passed on. It doesn't matter if you haven't seen them in 20 years. If you're holding that unforgiveness, it's going to block the healing. And once they can get past that, then the healing, it's amazing to see how the healing will then just kick in.
Yes.
You know, and I've seen this over and over and over again. Genetic bloodline curses, all those types of things. There was a little girl that and word got around. I had prayed for a buddy of mine that I worked with. He was trying to walk out of the office, and he was so sick he was green in color, and he was wobbling back and forth. He couldn't really stand up, and I said to myself, there is no way this man is going to get in a car and try to drive. I don't think he's going to make it home. And I sat him down on the sofa in the lobby, and it was like, Fred, if you... Do you believe that if I pray for you, that Jesus will be able to heal you? And I said, you're not going to, you know, I don't think you're going to make it home. You're too sick. And we sat there. He said, yes, I prayed for him. And I walked back a couple of steps. And if you ever see those old movies with, like, the Wolfman, and you see the guy change from the Wolfman back into a man, I watched him go from a green color to looking almost 95% better. In like a 5-minute period of time, he healed 95% in 5 minutes, and he jumped up. And he's like, "Wow, I feel really good." And then he would tell people, oh, you know, Kevin can heal people. I said, oh, Jesus heals people. And he brought this woman's daughter in, and she had several different issues. We prayed, and it's amazing what God will give you a word of knowledge and tell you, oh, there's something going on with this. And people say, well, how'd you know that? I said, well, God just showed me. And you see people get out from the clutches of the devil, and it's a great thing to see happen.
Oh, amen. And you know, I'm sure you're on those highs as I am, God has used little us to minister to someone like that and see it happen. It's certainly very fulfilling. I've never been in anything that was so fulfilling. So, well, praise God. What else share there, Kevin?
It's just those types of experiences. My wife's son actually goes down to the local McDonald's here in town, and he sits there and he asks people, he'll see people, and ask them if they need healing, ask them if there's anything wrong. And some people will look at him and tell him that he's crazy. Other people have been healed of some incredible things, and now word has gotten around, and people are actually going into that McDonald's to go and get healing.
Praise God.
And he's ministered to probably over 1,000 people, he estimates now. And he's had people come back multiple times. And, you know, it's crazy because what he'll say is sometimes he has better results with people who are not believers than with believers. I don't know if that
Some of them are locked up with doctrines. Some of them are locked up with doctrines, Kevin, and they won't think out of the box that they're accustomed to. It's sad, but they're missing some of the blessings of the gospel because of those doctrines. We see that quite a bit. But, yes, it's all out there for a Christian that will reach out and go with it.
Okay. I mean, there's nothing like it to see somebody get healed, and it's like my friend's fiance, she couldn't bend over and touch her toes. So I asked her after we ministered to her, my wife and I said, is there anything that, you know, that you couldn't do before we prayed that you can do now? And she said, you know, I can't touch my toes. I said, well, go ahead and touch your toes. And she went, she bent right over, touched her toes with her fingertips. And I'm like, you couldn't do that before this? She goes, no.
Love it.
So the pain was too much.
Oh, that's our Jesus. You know how exciting it is to find out about all this. Well, I knew you've been doing quite a bit of ministry up there, Kevin, as I've talked to you from time to time. And, of course, you have a radio show yourself and have for some time. And in fact, I've been on your show in the past.
Yes. Yeah, you've been on the TV show. And it's pretty cool. I'll tell you, the same. My son-in-law, when you see legs grow out and things, like one time he worked on my back here at the house in the living room, and then he said, let me see if you're out of kilter. And so, you know, I put the legs up and he looked, and my leg was like about a good half inch off my left leg. And then I've seen the legs grow out before, and I've experienced it, and the only thing I can call it is a tingle, and I feel this tingle, and then it's the leg just going out, and it's just really cool to see, and you just realize that's the power of God, and I will wonder, how can God do that and there not be any pain? And that's the mercy, that's the love of God at work, where He can heal somebody like that. You don't feel any pain.
Yes, and, you know, it's we see that, of course, constantly. I even saw a short leg come out with a man I ministered to this last Monday, and it blows me away every time that we're privileged to see this, like, come out as we speak in Jesus' name. And, of course, what always hits me is if we can speak in Jesus' name and see a person come into adjustment that has a short leg or arm and the pain is gone, what else can we do in Jesus' name? Well, a lot more than we realize, that's for sure. So I'm not surprised at anything, really. Yeah.
I think it's great whenever, you know, whenever we see things like that. I think it's wonderful. And I mean, it's kind of, I get a big kick out of it that, you know, my son-in-law goes down to that McDonald's almost every day, and word has gotten around, like, hey, there's a guy in McDonald's that can heal you, and he has seen cancers healed. He has seen stuff literally fall off of people. I mean, just some amazing things happen.
Well,
so,
your
I mean,
whole
it can be done in McDonald's.
Well,
it can be done in your living room.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. And I can see you're on your way to set Connecticut free, Kevin.
Yeah, yeah, we're definitely working on it. That's the direction we want to go in, and we just want to see people delivered. We want to see people set free from a lot of the problems that are, you know, plaguing them. And, you know, back before I got exposed to this, I would just say, well, that person's just got problems. But you never really would think, well, that person's got demons. And now I'll look at my wife, and we come across someone who will say, That person needs deliverance, and people forget
everywhere.
A lot of times it's not that person's fault. You know, it's sometimes it's generational. There were generational things that had to be done with me, and it's a really great feeling to know that, you know, you're finally free of it.
Kevin, before you came down to Oklahoma City for ministry, I remember ministering to you a couple of times on the phone.
Yes.
Remember some of that? And
yeah,
it was
right after a radio show I had you on.
That's right.
And yeah, it was amazing. You were driving in the car, and you were on the cell phone, and I was still sitting at my office where I did the show, and I had a cough that was like all the time. It wouldn't go away. And you spoke to that problem, and something got pulled. The only thing I can say is an angel went and was pulling this demon out of my throat, and it was causing this constant tickle down by my Adam's apple. And it, in my mind, I could picture like these two giant claws gripping into my throat, down through my mouth, into my throat, and it did not want to come out, and it yanked it out. And I know I was making some sounds that I'm not capable of making. It was some pretty hideous sounds that were coming out of me as it was being done.
I remember hearing those sounds on the phone, you know, in the car.
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting in my office chair. My arms were back. My head was straight up at the ceiling, and it was being pulled out. And I remember when it stopped, you asked me, Kevin, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm great now. And my voice actually dropped about an octave.
Wow.
It got lower.
Yeah, I remember that. Again, I'm not surprised at anything, Kevin. High adventure. Well, then, next couple of minutes we have, what else would you say to the listeners, Kevin, up there in Connecticut? Over the country,
you know, it's something that I think everybody should be able to go through, because it's something that can be holding you back. May not be something that's your fault. May not be anything you did. There could be generational curses, assignments against a person, attachments. There could be different things going on that holds a person back from their destiny and what God wants for their life. And this is this is a great way to see to it that those demons are dealt with, those curses are dealt with, those assignments, those attachments, they're all dealt with. And I know my wife wanted me to ask you one thing. I know something I learned from you is that when these demons are being bound and all, I send them up to the feet of Jesus, and I tell Jesus, you're the head of the church. You deal with them as you see fit. And my wife wanted me to ask you, where did you learn that technique from?
I initially learned it from a ministry in California that was doing it. So through the years, these 39 years I've been doing this, I at times I've sent them to the abyss. Other times we spent some years sending them to the dry places. There's some scriptural reference to that.
Yes.
But I always wondered if they might not get reassigned. And so when I heard about this ministry that was sitting at the feet of Jesus, that made a lot of sense to me, that, that it's got to be a safe place to send them, since he'll do with them what he wishes, and they're not likely to get reassigned.
Right.
And we've done that for a few years now. Yeah.
Yeah, and it works. I mean, there's times, and there's times when I'm praying for people. I'll tell you, there was one friend of mine I was praying for, and my wife was right there. We were laying down next to each other on our bed, and we were praying, and I was praying for this one individual, and my eyes are closed, and I could see this large black snake, huge head, probably about 3.5 feet across, the black that I've never seen before, with piercing black eyes, black on black, against a black background, and this thing looked at me, trying to intimidate me, and my eyes were still closed, and I remember I got up out of the bed, I'm standing on the floor, and she's seeing nothing there, but I can see this thing, and God told me, that's a destroyer spirit that was sent after the guy you're praying for. And I pointed my hand out at it, and I said, how dare you show up in my house? I am a son of the living God. And when I did that, the thing, it wasn't like poof, and it just, like, dematerial. It was there, and then it wasn't there.
Praise God.
And
praise the Lord.
Yeah, and I told my wife
Kevin,
later what happened.
Kevin?
I'm like this. Yeah.
Kevin, I don't want to cut you down too short here. I tried to interrupt you, but we do have our next caller on the line. So I do appreciate you coming on this evening and giving your testimony. And keep up the good work with your radio show, and just do your best to set Connecticut free.
Thank you very much.
Kevin.
God
your
bless
blessing.
You.
God bless you.
Thank you, Everett. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Chris, we thank you for joining us this evening.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, Chris, so glad you called in. If you could go ahead and share history on yourself. That's kind of our format here on these testimonies, and when you were born again, and then now you learned about deliverance, and then the experiences you've been seeing. And I know you've been seeing some good ones lately. So go ahead.
Yes, I have. So, I was born raised in a Christian home, and my grandmother did the lion's share of teaching me about Christ, and she was a Sunday school teacher. And, so I was growing up going to church quite often, and I went to a church camp when I was 12, and while I was away at church camp, that's when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and we came back from the church camp, and I was baptized then. I grew up, and, I had over the years had just done normal stuff, and had gone on to college, and in my high school years and later college years, I had strayed away, and when I got married, it was kind of a renewing for me, and I also had joined the military just straight out of high school, and so military's been my life, and I had just had a life full of experiences due to the military. And, I have, on one of my last deployments, I was gone away for 7 months and something got into our marriage and I was, I ended up, finding myself divorced when I got home. And so, I was, just over the next 5 years, I was just really a broken man, and kind of had forgotten, all the strength that I had in our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's just been a tough time for me. And so I just finally, after 5 years, about the 3 year mark, I just really started seeking God intentionally, just seeking Him for truth. Because I was at rock bottom, and then that's where God started to talk to me and kind of reminding me of all of those promises that He made and that He doesn't take back. And, so I just started seeking Him in prayer and in the scripture. And, you know, he started leading me to friends that would pray for me. And, you know, a long story short is one of my really good friends that I had in college, he was the best man at my wedding, and I was the best man at his wedding. You know, he contacted me, and we started to, over about 7 years of not even seeing each other, we started sharing again and praying for each other. And he's the one who led me to Everett's delivery ministries. And you know, I was at the point where I was excited and just really seeking God. So I had no idea what to expect. Really, when I got there, I was just supposed to be speaking with Everett, but, you know, I ended up being there on one of their evenings, Monday night evenings, and I, you know, I got to be a part of the door closing prayer and talk about really just closing the door, like just closing all the access of evil things, you know, having control of your life. And it was just an amazing prayer, just really opened my eyes just as soon as that prayer was starting to be said. And you know, and then I went through a meeting with, or just kind of a setting down with Everett, and I remembered that, you know, there were a couple of other folks who were kind of going through some training that had sat down with us, and Everett had started going over a sheet where I had circled all the areas of my life that I'd struggled with. And he started asking me questions about those, and he kind of opened us up in prayer. And then he started asking me questions about each one of those areas of my life. And you know, I had about 3 or 4 months prior, I had been seeking God, just every day. And I got to the point where I wanted to completely specifically list out all the things that I was sorrowful for, and that things that, you know, I wanted to confess to my Lord. And I wrote out 42 pages of things that I was ashamed of or had been sorry of, and, you know, just sins of my past life. And, you know, I had confessed them all and by name. And, you know, I really thought that I was, just really not needing much help. But I just knew that I was seeking God, and this is where God led me. And, you know, through the leading of Everett and his prayer and just the system, immediately he hit on an area that I really had kind of forgot about. But as soon as he opened me up in prayer, you know, he asked, you know, think back and just, you know, things that maybe you haven't forgiven or things that might keep you awake at night. And immediately I was taken back to my childhood and just some, you know, just some, really things that I was really hurt, you know, physically and mentally by. But you know, as he led me through this prayer and just, you know, taking every one of those feelings, thoughts, you know, and hurts and intentionally, you know, giving those up to the Lord and having, you know, having the Lord just receive those and take those away from me. And he did that through every item in my life that I had circled on the sheet, and just by him leading through me, revealed even so much more that I had even listed on the sheet. And it was just, it was amazing, you know, and just being, you know, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And just, I never thought that I would, you know, be this close, and have such a, just have the Holy Spirit moving in me and me having the power, like the Bible says, that, you know, I can heal and I can do many things in the name of Jesus and by what he tells us that we can do. And, so through the delivery ministry, I just feel like I've been set free, and you know, I've already taken so many things into control, you know, even on my own accord. So I've just learned about this, and there's so much to learn about it. And I already started just wanting to bless my house and just make sure that there were no open gateways, if you will, for any evil to enter. And I started going through my house and just blessing each room. And, you know, I was talking to Everett and telling him about that. And he reminded me that it was in his book. And, I had received a copy of his book, which is phenomenal. I'm halfway through it right now. And it's just amazing how this thing was written. But, he lists out how to exercise your home and the buildings and the land. And so just for me, kind of taking control in the name of Jesus Christ has really just given me all the authority I've ever prayed for, and just with so much confidence and boldness that, you know, I am seeking to, you know, make sure that I can share this message with as many people as possible, because I truly believe that this is available to anyone who calls upon Jesus and asks for these things. And so it's just been, it's been amazing, and it's opened me up to so many. Just since I met with him, and this was only a couple of weeks, not even 2 weeks now, and I've already been networked with so many spiritual and faithful people. It's all I've ever prayed for, and people are calling me and wanting to meet with someone else, and the network is just building every day. And I feel like God is moving in a mighty way across this nation. And I think we're coming into a spirit of revival, and I think we're going to need more people to get on board with, you know, putting God first in our lives and then trusting in Him, and everything else will go as He's ordered.
Amen, Chris. And you know, as you can see, you're going through the training now. You just started last Monday. But you obviously can see how you will be a team leader. And once you have that knowledge down on how to do those steps on the checklist, why, you can minister to the world out there. Just think of that. The world is waiting for you.
Yes, and I am ready to get started. And I'm so thankful that that I have been led to your ministry, and just what a blessing. And you know, for anyone out there listening, you know, I'd encourage if you aren't aware of the website or the book that you could get for doing the supernatural works of Jesus, I would highly encourage you do so. Find a copy of that or go online and read that, because you can do this. You can do all of this by through the website and through the book. I know Everett has set this up to where you don't have to be there in person. You can, all these tools are available to you. And, I really would encourage all of you to take control of your spiritual lives and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to, not only heal yourself through the power of Jesus Christ, but to help heal your family members and friends and neighbors. It's just such a blessing.
And it's what's exciting to find out, Chris, is that this is not a special gift area for a person. This is normal Christianity we're talking about. Any Christian can do these things that Chris is describing. We found we can train anybody to do this, any Christian that wants to learn it can, and can be out there doing it. And Chris, when you sat in with me Monday night, we had an interesting case as well. You want to say something about that one?
Everett, it's not coming to my mind what it was, but you know, I will. There is a story that I'm kind of recalling that I need to share with people. And this was, I know I shared it with you and you were saying, you know, praise God, is, I had a skin cancer. I had melanoma, and, I remembered, because when I was first told that I had the skin cancer, that I was, you know, I was afraid I was going to die at a young age, and just with an unfinished life. And I remembered that first night when I was at home after learning that I had melanoma, that I just prayed continually, and I prayed that I had this. I envisioned in my mind that I had a supernatural holy Pac-Man, if you will, just eating up all these cancerous cells in my body. And you know, they removed the spot that I had, and I have been set free from that. I have been delivered from skin cancer, and you know, and I remember sharing that with you, and you were telling me that, you know, that's available to all people, and they just need to learn how to pray these ways and to call it out in the name of Jesus Christ, because we've been healed by His stripes.
Amen. When we went through your ministry, that head demon gave you your sight of the lies. It was speaking into your head. But did you know you had all the gifts that the demon disclosed?
Oh, no, not at all. I was very surprised to learn that, you know, all the lies that I have been told over the years, and I'm looking up the sheet now that I have. So this head demon said that the lies that he was telling me was that I was not loved, and that I was not good enough, and that I didn't have enough power of Christ, that I didn't have the power of Christ, and that he said I was defeated, and that he said that I do not, he said that Christ does not love me, and he continued on to say these are all lies, that he would not break these chains that he had around me, that he could not, that I would not find the truth, and that I would not be saved. You know, and so these were the lies that I've been told years and years. You know, a lot of that
coming,
went hand in hand with
coming into your head.
Go ahead.
They were just coming into your head, weren't they?
Yes.
Those lies.
Yes, they were just flowing into my head. And then so then you went on and you were able to actually find out what God's gifts were that I had in me, and that I was a spirit-filled warrior, and that I will save a lot of souls, and that that I'm a healer. And I don't know if you remember, I had a sense of kind of power generated in my hands, and I was able to offer that to Everett. And I've never had anything like happen like that in my life. And just, you know, we had three people there, you know, praying over me. And I could just, the Holy Spirit was just penetrating every cell of my body. And he continued just to say that, you know, I'll be healed of my physical ailments, and that I was, that I was going to be able to heal my family, and that, you know, all the chains that I've ever imagined will be broken. And so it was almost overwhelming for me. It was just so incredible how one night could change me forever. And
praise God. And that demon, even speaking out of your mouth, Chris, it finally admitted that it fought you so hard was because you had so many gifts. You remember that?
Yeah.
You could hear it
speaking
through your mouth, couldn't you?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I was, during the process, I was kind of in my mind's eye.
Yeah. Yeah, that's typical of what the demons want to do. They're out to break a Christian down, block their lives or destinies, or the use of their God-given gifts, and many of them on assignment, even coming out of Satan's war room, others through doors the person's opened up. But praise God, through the blood of Jesus, we overcome.
Yeah, praise
and
God.
And we can start living our lives abundant, finally. And I'm sure, you, Chris, you're on your track for life abundant now.
I am so excited, and I just want to be in using God's service. You know, I'm at a change in my life, and I am just waiting. I've been told in prayer to just kind of to be still and wait for God to move in my life, and that, you know, I just know that I'm ready to be plugged in wherever He calls me.
Praise God. Well, hold on to your hat. Well, in the last minute we have here, anything else you'd like to say to the listeners, Chris?
You know, what's kind of pressed upon my heart is that there's so much going around on Earth right now, and just being a military man, you know, I hear all the news and I see all the news, and, you know, just all around the world right now, things are changing, weather patterns and more volcanoes than we've ever seen, and fires and rumors of wars. You know, if you're familiar with your scripture, you know, I feel like we're in the end times, and I would say do not wait. You know, don't walk, but run to your spiritual healing, and just even in your own prayer, just pray, you know, Jesus, I want you in my life, take over my life, and just call Him in to your heart, even if you're driving or if you're sitting at your desk just right now, just call Him into your life and repent, and just make Him Lord of your life. That's what's being pressed on me to say.
Praise God. Thanks, brother. You're a blessing,
Amen.
And that's been a great testimony.
Thank you, Everett.
We're going to go ahead and let you go, and thanks so much, Chris, for calling in. And Ralph, did you have something to say there?
No, I just thank you for your testimony, a wonderful testimony upon healing and a good visual that you put there about having the spiritual Pac-Man just eating up all that cancer. I like that.
Thank you
for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless you, brother.
And he is correct. If there is a time in this life to be right before the Lord, it's now. And I encourage you out there, if you haven't repented of your sins, called upon the name of Jesus, confessed Him as Lord, and been baptized, that you really, really need to consider doing that, because if there is ever a time that we need salvation, it's these times of so much demonic activity in this world. So we do thank you for joining us this evening, Pastor. Thank you for joining us. It was a little late, but you got here.
Amen.
And good evening, everybody, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week.
Luke,
God bless
10,
everyone.
Verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing.
Nothing will harm you.
You are listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network with Pastor Peter J. Peters, made possible by the tithes and offerings of the faithful. If you would like to be one of those who help to get needed truths out to others, send your support to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. That's Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And pay a visit to our website, www.scripturesforamerica.org. That's scripturesforamerica.org. At our website, we broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And remember, too, the live evening broadcast at our website with Pastor Peter Peters, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 to 9 Central, 7 to 8 Mountain, and 6 to 7 Pacific. That program is live, controversial, with guests and call-ins and taboo subjects not acceptable in mainstream media. That's at www.scripturesforamerica.org. Should you go there on Sunday mornings, 10:30 a.m. Mountain Time, you'll see and hear Pastor Peter's Sunday morning church service. And when you write, why not ask for a free copy of the Scriptures for America Dragon Slayer Newsletter Magazine? Again, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And now, back to our program.